Welcome to the podcast of Pastor Daniel Braddock. He is the pastor of First Assembly of God in Plant City, Florida. We are so excited that you have joined us to listen to Pastor Braddock's powerful preaching from each Sunday morning church service. Listen closely to these messages, and your journey with Jesus will be wonderfully impacted.
I got a unique message this morning. The scripture, you know it by heart. But if you want to turn in your Bible, or they'll put it up on the screen, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll read those scriptures, and then we're going to talk to you. I'm going to try to preach. My heart's full. Because His presence is here.
Amen.
The glory is here.
Yes.
Amen. The Shekinah is here.
Amen.
If you'd like to stand, if you're able. Read it with us. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Oh, hallelujah. This is rich. For you are.
Amen.
I said you are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people.
Amen.
Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Father, we ask for a few moments that this Spirit that's in this place, would you anoint these lips of clay, weak body, frail mind, that I can convey what you have stirred in my heart this week and a half. Minister today. Have ears, let ears be open to hear and hearts open to receive. Bless each one that has come today. Bless them in their home, in their families. Bless them on their work, in their work. Bless them in whatever they do. We ask all of this in your name, the name of Jesus. Everybody said, turn around and tell your neighbor you still love them. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Hallelujah. If y'all don't know, I'm a crybaby. I can't help it. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, it's just... My title today is I'm the Church. I'm the Church. Let me tell you a little story. Well, let me go this way. I found this the other day by Matthew Hackworth. It says, how can America find its way back to God if the average Christian can't find its way back to the church?
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Let me give it to you again. How can America find its way back to God if the average Christian can't find its way back to the church? That's powerful. We're living in that stage right now in the church. Verse 16 of this text, It says, what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God.
It's true.
As he said. Now let me just throw something in here right quick. There was prophets, false prophets, at this time trying to destroy and break up the church at Corinth. They were telling them all kind of things that you could do and still be a Christian. Okay? And we could go a long direction there. But it says, for us, how many of you know we are God's building?
Amen.
Now, this is so foolish, it's crazy, it's funny. But can you imagine backing up here with a big truck and dragging this building around with a sign on it saying, this is God, this is the house, the temple? Everybody drives by here knows this is a church. Everybody drives by here knows this is a house of worship.
Amen.
But this scripture is talking about more than just a building. We're sitting in a building that is dedicated for worship. You and I are the church. Hello. Help me, Lord. There's a lot of philosophies going on in the Pentecostal ranks today that has brought a lot of confusion. A lot of things that we have held dear as sacred to God. But they're telling us, you don't have to be that way anymore. You can live any way you want to live and still be a Christian. Well, I want to ask the question, where's the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit still convicts. He hasn't gone out of business. I'm a church. No, I don't have a neon sign on my back. I don't have a halo over my head. But it's who I am and what I am. I am a temple of the living God.
Amen.
I want to go a lot of different ways. He said, Paul asserted that the church is the temple of the living God. A church building is sometimes called the God's house. In reality, God's household is not a building, but a group of people. 1 Corinthians 3:16, it tells us we are the temple of the living God. He's talking about you and I are the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's house is not a building, but a group of people who lives in us and shows himself to a watching world through us. People can see that God is love and that Christ is Lord as we live in harmony with each other. In accordance with that, what God says in his word, we are citizens of God's kingdom and members of his household.
That's true.
Some of y'all got to be with your family this Thanksgiving. I didn't get to go be with mine, but we was with my wife's brother and his family and Kim and John. We got to get together. And it's called fellowship. And I love you today because you fellowship. Come on. If you didn't fellowship, you know what you do when we dismiss? Y'all scatter like bees. You know, you just go over and not stop and talk to anybody. Some of y'all like to talk even after we get started the service. Brother Mark almost has to call you down. But it's called fellowship. And when I read this, it tells me that God, who's living in us, we are His temple. He is fellowshipping with us.
Amen.
Oh, come on, church. Help me out. Let me tell you a little story. I was going to read it, but I think I know it well enough to tell you. I read it the other day, and I marked it. It's in a daily devotional thing. It said a little Johnny went to church and heard the preacher preach on this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that you're the temple of God. So the next day he goes to school and the teacher's up teaching, and for some reason she gets a phone call. She has to go outside. And when she did, bedlam broke loose in the schoolroom. Spitballs. Now, I know y'all didn't do none of that. Spitballs and whatever they had was just, you know, chaos had took over. And the teacher got back, and she happened to look through the glass door before she went into the classroom and saw little Johnny sitting there very quiet, very polite, very still. Everybody else, all the other kids, was going crazy, jumping up and down, throwing spitballs, pulling each other's hair and all that junk. And so when she got in and got him settled down, she called little Johnny up to the front and said, "Johnny, how come you're not doing like the rest of them's doing?" He said, "Well, the preacher said, and my mama told me last night before I went to sleep, that I'm the temple of the living God." And when they went crazy and got out of hand, I realized I couldn't do it because I'm a temple of God. Wow. Urapasikotapasata. There's a lot of foolishness going on in the church. We've brought in a lot of things that really God's not happy with. We've allowed them to come in to the church. And today the church is in confusion. I said it earlier, but I'll say it again. Because we have allowed certain things to come in, and it's took away what the Holy Spirit has put in us to live by, to walk by, and to be. It says the temple of God, and him shall, he said, in him who shall, God, let me back up. Know ye not that you're the temple of the living God, the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple, the word foul means corrupt or destroy, the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Destruction will come on people who walk away from their conviction and what the Word of God says and not live by it. Destruction will come. Amen. You can disagree with me all you want, but when you read the Old Testament, every time the children of Israel started murmuring and complaining and turned their back on God, what happened? Amen. Destruction came. Amen. Destruction came. He said, Corinth had an abundance of temples. They were pagan deities. So the recipient of his letter was able to visualize the contrast the apostles intended. Those who follow Christ are not known by a building. They are known as those in whom the Spirit of God lives.
Amen.
God is alive in me.
Yes.
That's why I can't be still. I may not jump and swing from the rafters, the lights, or jump over the altar. But there's one thing I know for sure today. My Father lives in me. I am alive. I can't help it. I'm alive.
Yes.
I'm alive.
Amen.
Because God lives in me. I want you to say that with me. I'm alive because God lives in me. If you're a child of God this morning and you're walking in His, with Him, you read the Word, you pray, listen, God is with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, glory to God. He is walking with you. He is in you. He's beside you. He's everywhere around you. He's God. Hallelujah. And God's not a one-sided God. What do you mean, preacher? Don't matter which way I go, where I sit down or stand up, He's still there. He's still there. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, I guess I'm just too old. I don't know. But I can I reminisce? I'm going to anyway. But I remember back when the Spirit of God flowed into a house of worship and people began to get lost in the Spirit. I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about in the very presence where the Shekinah glory of God would settle down over a congregation and people would raise their hands and weep before God and cry out to Him and let the presence of God begin to bubble up in their soul, and they would stand there, or even maybe once in a while somebody get in the Spirit. A little shouting would go on. Maybe somebody fall out in the Spirit.
Come on.
If that happened today in First Assembly, scare some of y'all half to death. I'm serious. You thought they had a heart attack and died. No, it's the Spirit of God. Because we're the temple.
Come on.
I can't get it out of my head. I know this is a building. It's made out of steel and sheetrock and all the other junk that goes with it. But to me, the Lord made this so real to me maybe a year and a half ago, that when I walk through those doors, I am walking into His presence. I know I've said it several times, but most of the time we walk in, we're happy, we want to know everybody's business and all this junk. Y'all still love me? We want to find out how everybody's doing, what's going on. No, why don't we come with thanksgiving and walk in here and realize we are walking into the very presence of Jehovah God.
Come on.
Help me, Holy Spirit. We ought to walking here today, and I feel like there's some that did, and you don't know what to do. You walked into this building this morning, and you're hurting. You walked into this building this morning with a broken heart. You walked into this building this morning not feeling well. And what I'm saying is under the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. But if you can realize and understand, when you walk in here, you're walking into the divine presence of God. We walk in here under the divine presence. He's here, church. He's here. Oh, hallelujah. He's here. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive in us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Those who follow Christ are not known as a building. They are known as those in whom the Spirit of God lives. Hallelujah. Matthew, go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. What are you talking about? Peter and John prayed for the man at the temple gate who'd been there for years, crippled. And they took him by the hand. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the crippled man stood to his feet. No, he leaped to his feet. And when he leaped to his feet, all of a sudden he realized he could stand on his feet. Now, I'm telling you what, he didn't sit down and say, well, I think I got it. I promise you this. You will know without a doubt when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You will know that the presence of God has come upon you. And when you know it, you may not understand it, but obey it. Let it flow into you because it's God trying to do something in your life. Amen. They had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Get that, church. Jesus said, as a church, we should let our light so shine before men.
Listen.
That they see our good works. Now, I take that this way. They see how we live outside of the church. Does that make sense? How do you live outside of this church when you go home? How do you live? How do you react? Remember, there's a reaction to every action. And when you tell people, I'm a born-again believer, guess what? They don't forget it. And then your testimony becomes your witness. They watch you like a hawk. We've got several hawks around here. I don't know why they took up here, but they have. I think we got three, something like that. But I every now and then outside, you see them, and they're perched up on one of these light poles. Probably won't Robert's chickens back there. But all of a sudden, that one of those hawks, he sees something way out there. He's on this light pole over here, but he sees something down there. And all of a sudden, he takes off and he glides. And he just, like a jet plane, he hits the ground. He grabs whatever is there. Whatever he saw from there to out there somewhere, he dives down and he grabs it. The eyes of God sees you where you are. And he wants to dive down and to get a hold of you. We're known by the testimony. We're known by the life that we live outside of this building. See, there's a lot of Christians today. And the Bible speaks of this. Not every man that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Is that right? But if you profess, you claim Christ lives in your heart, don't leave him at the front door.
Come on.
Walk, let him walk with you out to your vehicle. And if you go to Chili's, let him walk in there with you. Because somebody may walk by, and a waitress may walk by, and you can sense they need something. Let me give you an example. This morning, the young man, we put his name on the prayer list. He's up in Douglas, Georgia. I didn't know what was going on. But Thanksgiving night, his nose began to bleed and bled all night till sometime way up in Friday. And for that man not to go hunting, you know he's sick. But as soon as I finished my coffee and started getting dressed, the Lord just began to press. His name was stamped right there on my brain. And when I got dressed, we had a few moments, and Francis said, what are you doing? I said, I got to call Ken. But I called him. And I said, Ken, I said, the Lord impressed me so strongly to call you and pray for you. And you know what his reply was? Please pray. He's up there. I'm down here. And I found him. I called him. Found out I just heard through the grapevine that he wasn't feeling well. I didn't know what was going on. But the impressing Spirit of God. Now, you don't do that when you're walking in the world. That's God in us. That's God in us. Prompting our spirit, our man. That temple. I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to call him. I could have just pushed it off and said, you know, well, it's just me. No, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God speaking in my spirit because he is in me. And when he's in me and he wants to use me, he begins to speak to me. Oh, I got to be mean. What was the prophet's name when Samuel? What was the prophet's name? Eli? Eli lost the anointing. I think that's the right word to use. Because when God spoke to Samuel three times in the night, he got up and ran to Eli. What do you want? And Eli said, son, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. The third time, the Spirit spoke to Samuel. He jumps up and runs to Eli. Eli, what do you want? I'm here. The third time, Eli recognized it was the anointing. It was the Spirit of God speaking to Samuel. And he didn't even recognize the presence of God. And he's a priest.
Come on.
Don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask this question. Do you know when the Spirit of God moves on you? Do you know when He's speaking to your heart? I hope you do. Do you know and understand that when he comes upon you, He's doing something not only for you, but for everybody else or whoever He wants you to be ministering to? I'm telling you what, church, this is what I'm talking about. We are the temple of the living God. He is in us. He's in us. He's in us. Amen. The church is not where believers go. It is who they are. It's who we are. Now, I know. I think most of you know me pretty well. I don't have to put a sign on my back and walk down the streets of Plant City and say I'm a Christian. But let me tell you something. I meet people all the time. Just like the lady come by the other day. I don't know who this lady is. I don't know where I met her. I don't know how. But she walked by me and stopped and said, "Aren't you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I know you." I said, my eyes raised up. I'm, "Yeah. Because I don't know you, lady." But she said, "I heard you speak somewhere." She never did tell me where. But she said, "When I walked by you, I had to stop. There was something there that grabbed me," she said. Are you hearing me, church? We're not the building. We're the presence of God out there on the streets.
Come on.
Let me hurry. The church is not where believers go. It's who we are. God is not waiting for His people in some stained glass sitting. He is always with them. That is a sobering fact and yet a comforting thought. He is always with me. Are you?
Come on.
How many of you studied or been around kings and princes and all this stuff? It's royalty. Hello. There's a protocol for everything that goes on. You just don't walk in there and do what you want to do. You're some king. But in a kingdom, and you read it in the Bible, as a king, you didn't just walk into where he was sitting. You had to get permission to come in. And well, as Ruth and several others, the king would reach out with a scepter, and that was a sign that he accepted you to come in and talk with him. There you are, he said, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Lord, mark that in your Bible. Write it on your heart.
Come on.
He's still working on me because I'm special. Now, I know some of y'all are going to take that and go out here and said the preacher's his egos went sky high. No, 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 no. I'm glad I'm His. I'm one of His chosen. And He's still working on me.
Come on.
That we may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." I think you have it, yes. "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit."
Listen.
You should go and bear fruit. Let your light so shine before men.
Yeah.
and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, I'm just, what's coming to my mind, your fruit shall remain. That person you're witnessing to, that's a sinner, or somebody that's going through a hard trial, and you pray for them, or you talk to them, you share with them, guess what happens? It sticks.
Come on.
Because if it's anointed of God, it's going to go into their soul, their heart. And they can't push it aside. Come on, church. And it's going to be there. Every time they think, every time the problem arises, they're going to say, yes, I remember that. He is always with them. How does your behavior reflect on God you represent? I'm the church. I'm the church. We're the church. Excuse me. Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
We're the church. Wherever we go in Plant City, we're the church. We are the church. Aren't you glad that God chose us? Every one of you here today that's born again Christian, the Lord chose you. He saw you. He didn't wait for you to get cleaned up and then I'll serve the Lord. No, he chose you when you was in your sins. He chose you when you was in your degradation, when you was in the mud pits of the world. He spoke to your heart and said, I love you.
Yes.
Now, not only that, when he comes in and saves your life, the Lord says, I want you to go and share that fruit with other people.
Yes.
Share that fruit with other people. Stand with me. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, right now that you'd speak to our heart. Lord, minister to us. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Let us grasp, let us get a hold of the idea that you are in us. You have taken up your abode in us. We are your temples. Lord, help us never, never, never to desecrate the temple, to take away the glory of it. Oh God, I pray today that you would minister to your people right now. In the name of Jesus, as they begin to sing, I wonder this morning, could right where you are, could you ask the Lord to help you to be a witness?
Spirit of the...
Thank you for listening today to the podcast of Pastor Daniel Braddock. If you are encouraged and uplifted by Pastor Braddock's preaching, please write a positive review on your favorite podcast app. Subscribe to this podcast on your app so you will not miss any future episodes. Take the word preached by Pastor Braddock and share it with your family, your friends, and your community. May God bless you today.